सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं कृतवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतम् करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवत् गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सो देर इज अ बोट एंड द बोट इज गोइंग टुवर्ड्स अ पर्टिकुलर डेस्टिनेशन एंड देर आर सेवरल पीपल ऑन दिस बोट। देर आर अ फ्यू लीडर्स who guide this boat and tell the other people in the boat where they point everybody else in the boat in the right direction where the boat is supposed to go. So these are the leaders. Then there are various other people in this boat. There are a few people who are sincerely rowing, and their goal is to get to the destination as soon as possible, and they put all effort. There are a few others who are rowing, but infrequently, when they feel like it. Sometimes they work, sometimes they just walk around, do nothing. So that's the second group. The third group is here in this boat to have fun. They say boat has so much entertainment, food, drinks, let us enjoy. So they do not participate in the rowing, but they walk around having fun. And then the fourth group in this boat are the ones who create problems. They discourage others from rowing. They are very negative about the whole activity. Why are we going here? Let us change direction. So they interfere in all the workings of the boat. What is this boat? This boat is this world. And what is the destination? In this world, all humans that are there are the passengers in this boat of the world. And the destination of every human is one, that is God realization, self realization. That alone is the destination of every one of those people on this world, the boat called the world. But then there are a few masters, a few teachers, leaders like Pujya Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya Ji, Tapovan Maharaj, Swami Vivekananda, Buddha, Jesus. These are people who guide us and tell us where we should take our destination, where should we go, and how should we go. So they are the masters, the leaders. Then there are four kinds of people. The first group is the ones who are sincere seekers, who are putting all the effort to accomplish this goal of reaching the highest goal of their life. And they do not procrastinate. They work as hard as they can, study, go to teachers, meditate, all that, serve. The second group are the intermittent ones who once in a while will study or read or attend classes. If they feel like it, they will go out and serve, otherwise not. So they are the irregulars. The third group are the ones who are here to have fun, enjoy life. There is no future life, there is no past life. This is it. We are here. We don't know what is heaven, hell, all that. We're just here to enjoy. Those we call the charvaks in our Vedic literature. Charvaks are their theory, philosophy can be summarized very beautifully in this one shloka. Yavat jivet sukham jivet rinam kritva ghritam pivet. So they say, whatever life you have, yavat, as long as you are living, sukham, have fun, enjoy. Forget about all this meditation, study, service and all. You are here to take care of your body. This body alone is real. There is no God. This body is conscious because of the collection of five elements. There is nothing else. And how do they enjoy their life? Rinam kritva, borrow from others. Take loans, borrow. What about paying back? No need to pay back. After you die, who's going to worry about your debt? So just borrow, enjoy other people's money, and enjoy life. And ghritam pibet, and drink ghee. Ghee represents, you know, wealth, the enjoyment, because everything that you make tasty is made out of ghee. So eat, drink, enjoy life. So that is the four kinds of people that live in this world. And the question is, where do we fit in? If we are sincere seekers of this knowledge, we should follow the message of the Bhagavad Gita that I should grow myself. And when I evolve, people around me also evolve. So each one of us has a responsibility to make the world get better. Not only I get better, but when each person grows, the universe all grow together. So that is the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us, as we had studied last week, that just enjoyment of sense pleasures is like that third group. ultimately leads to bondage, leads to attachment. And Bhagwan tells us that we are all tenants in this world. Nobody is permanent. This body I am temporarily borrowing, God has given me. This house, my money, my children, everything is temporary. Nothing is permanent. And when it is time to, the landlord is sitting upstairs, and when it is time, when the lease is expired, he says, okay, time khatam ho gaya, and we are happily ready to give because we have done whatever we could to accomplish this purpose. So that is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And last week we had talked about men of who are attached to objects, how they get bound, how they suffer. Now, Bhagwan in the next three shlokas will talk about men of wisdom, how they function in this world. Remember, I had said the few who are the leaders who are guiding us. How do they function and what is their life? So that becomes an ideal for us to follow. And also, he has introduced a new term called Brahma Nirvanam. So what is Brahma Nirvanam? The next three shlokas, Bhagavan will talk in more detail about that. If you wish, these shlokas are in this book, 24 onward.
Thank you.
So we'll chant number 24, chapter 5, 24. Yonta sukontara ramaha.
Yonta sukontara ramaha.
Tathantar jyotir evayah.
Tathantar jyotir evayah.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Brahma bhutoti gacchati. Together. Yontas sukontara ramaha. Tathantar jyotirevayah sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutodhi gacchati. So yaha means, yo means yaha. So that wise person, how does this wise person live? Anta sukha, has joy within. Antara Ramaha, Antara Ram, this word is broken in two ways. One, Antara Ramaha means he enjoys with it. Second, with Antara Aramaha, his life is very pleasant, very relaxed, very comfortable. And he finds all the comfort within, not in the world, within. Tatha, and also Antara Jyotir Evayaha, he experiences the light within. What is this light? We'll talk about. We don't see any light within. So what is this light? Saha yogi. So such a yogi, how does this person live? Brahma nirvana. He or she experiences nirvana, Brahma nirvana. What is this term? New one Bhagwan has introduced. He experiences Brahma Nirvanam and Brahma Bhutaha Adhigachati. Having become Brahman, he functions, lives in the world. He attains Brahmanhood. So let us see what is the meaning of Antasukha. First of all, people ask, you know, you're telling us we should get up in the morning early, meditate, study the Bhagavad Gita, other Upanishads, scriptures, attend classes, do some community service, help to spread this knowledge, give charity. Then what will I get in this process? What is my benefit? So masters tell us that by giving, you get much more back. People say, if I give money, I will lose. No, Bhagwan has Lakshmiji with him. And whatever we give in charity, we get much more back. Not only we get the spiritual benefit, we get the inner joy, but the universe makes sure that nobody loses. Whatever help you give others, whatever goodness you do to others, that comes back to you manifold. It will come back in your children doing well. It will come back in your family being harmonious. So giving is always in every way beneficial, not only gives us peace of mind and happiness, but we get much more back than we give. Even though we say, no, giving more than we receive. But in reality, Bhagwan is so kind and generous, he gives us more than we give. At least that has been my experience and experience of all people who live, who follow this path. Then the second question is, who is this yogi? See, the word yogi comes many times in the Bhagavad Gita. Yogi, one is, yogi is the one whose mind is always yukt, always attached to Bhagwan, always attached to the higher. But yogi in the Bhagavad Gita has different meanings. Like in the third chapter, Bhagwan says karma yogi. The one who does good karmas for the benefit of society, works unselfishly without I, me, and my, and gives back. The second meaning in yogi is in the fifth chapter, jnana yogi, one who has this highest knowledge, lives in this knowledge, and lives a life of detachment, does not depend on the world for his happiness. In the sixth chapter, he talks about jnana yogi, meditation. So we have to see everything in the context. That's why the scripture should be studied with a guru like Swami Chinmayananda or these acharyas. And then they talk about people who look outward, you know, for happiness. We have talked about it. And in the Kathopanishad, it says, Paranchikhani vyatrinat svayambhu tasmat paran pasyati nantaratma. Kaschid dhira pratyagatmanam ekshat avrita chakshur amritatvam ichat. Most of us look outward for happiness because the Brahmaji, the creator, has made our sense organs to look out. Very rare is the individual who turns within to find the joy within, to find the comfort within, to find what the true happiness that they are looking for, permanent, can only be found within. And not only for masters, but even for sadhakas, even for those of us who are on this path, as you slowly progress on this path, as you spend more time in studying the scriptures, listening to talks, you know, personally on the Zoom, internet, and so on, you will find that your mind slowly will become more quiet, will become more peaceful, and gradually you will experience that supreme joy that the Mahatmas have experienced. We may experience small part of it, but that joy that these leaders of this world have experienced, spiritual leaders, we get slowly start getting tastes of it. And once you're on this path, then you're hooked because Bhagwan then catches you. All you have to do is show sincerity and effort, and rest the Bhagwan God takes care of. Then Arama, we talked about that whatever comfort that we are looking in the world, because the world, we are looking for physical comfort. You know, I should be happy, have a, you know, house, all those things. Mentally, people should like me, they should love me, nobody should hate me. Intellectually, I want to know success. But all that physical, mental, intellectual comfort is found within. Then this person is not looking for comfort or happiness, for people to make me happy, to make me comfortable. He has found that within. That is Antar Aramaha. Then Antar Jyoti. Jyoti means the inner light. It's not that there is some light shining somewhere within me, or some people in meditation, they say, you know, I saw blue light, it came and then stayed for a while and went. I am now enlightened. No, light means the light of consciousness. Even if you see a light in meditation or hear bells, you know, people do that. I have not seen or heard anything, but some people do, and that is good. Nothing wrong with that. But do not get attached to that light or to that sound, or it should be repeated. It came and went. What came and went is not God. Because when God comes, it is permanent. So what they mean by light is the light of Gyan Prakash, the light of knowledge. That is what the knowledge is. And that knowledge I have, that is the light of knowledge, the light of consciousness. And if this knowledge, if this joy was available outside, you know, for thousands of years, humans have been struggling to find joy in, you know, making new inventions, new discoveries, building new cities, new Disneyland and Disney World and Universal. All these things they have been doing, or parties, drinks, alcohol, drugs. So if joy was outside, by now we would have found it, you know, but we find that this joy is, and somebody would have bottled the joy and sold it and made a lot of money, but the joy is not outside. It lasts for a while and goes away, but masters tell us that joy is within and only can be found within. Outside, yes, there are pleasures. We are not saying that one should not go to the movies or eat, drink, enjoy, but that should not be the main goal of life. And for that, Shraddha or faith is very important. They always emphasize in our scriptures the importance of faith. Our masters have told us that there is this path that we have to go on, just as the masters in the boat know where the path is, and they have themselves gone. We may not have experienced it, but because of our faith in God, faith in the scriptures, faith in the masters, we sincerely follow. But do not imitate the masters externally. See, people say, oh, my guru has a beard as long as this, I will have a beard. He walks like this, he talks like this. No. It should not be blind imitation. We should follow the scriptures that have made my master enlightened. Of course, one can be inspired by the teachings and the life of these great rishis and masters, but just blindly following externalities is not important. More important is to follow this knowledge and follow the scriptures. Then the word nirvana, which is a very important word, it will be covered in the next two shlokas also. Nirvana was first appeared in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, and then Bhagavan Buddha about 2500 years ago. After all these texts appeared, then he took up that word and popularized it, and nirvana is a very important part of Buddhist teachings. So nir means nihi and vana. Know what vana means? Desire, fire. Actually, vana means fire. So there is no fire of desire in this wise person. Because what does fire do? You know, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, dushpurena analena cha. Just as a fire, you keep feeding wood, put more wood, put more wood, more. It's going to grow bigger. It's not going to say enough, enough. So same way, this fire of desire, when it takes over us, then we just want more, 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 and more. We never say enough. So the wise people say, reduce your desire. So nirvana is less desire. For ultimately, the wise ones, enlightened ones, have absolutely no desire from the world. They just keep whatever is minimum for sustenance. So you and I can reduce our demands, our desires, and live a life of simplicity to the extent we can. Then the second vana also means smell. So nirvana means no smell. So what is smell? Our body. If you think about it, if you don't take bath for a day, you start smelling. We put lotions, perfumes, get up in the morning, every excretion from our body everywhere smells. So this body, you have to wash it, clean it to maintain it. So nirvana means no attachment to this body. They know this body is essential. We are not saying you should not take care of the body or neglect the body, but use the body for serving the world. Sthirairangairi stushtuvagam sastanubihi vyashemadeva hitam yadayuh. O Lord, in the Upanishad Shanti Mantra, they pray that may I have a healthy body for as long as I live, so I may serve you, O Bhagwan. That is the purpose of this body. And they constantly abide in that notion that this Atma, the consciousness, Om, is within me, and that is my true nature. I am that. God is not somebody outside, but God is me. How can we reach that state? So people say, well, after death, when you die, then maybe you will go to heaven or go to Vaikuntha or, you know, Goloka, and there you will become one with Bhagwan. But the Vedanta says this enlightenment is here and now, can be experienced here and now. Yes, after death, there are methods of attaining enlightenment, but they say, why wait for that? Right here, you can. So, how can we do that? So, they give the example of the pot. Now, the pot is, say, out in the open ground, and pot space is very limited. It has limited space. And then, when the pot breaks, then the space realizes, I am one space with the total space. I am only one. But if the space has the right knowledge, then it says that actually there is only one space. Me and the total space are one. Temporarily, I am confined to this pot. I don't need the pot to break to understand I am total space. So similarly, you and I, there is only one consciousness, one divinity everywhere, outside and inside. But we think after this body perishes, I will attain that. So rishis tell us, no. Even while living in this body, you understand I am that Atma, the consciousness, Om, that is my true nature. And whether I am in this body or not, for these enlightened masters, they experience that Brahma Nirvanam while alive. Nirvanam, as we mentioned, is the experience of Brahman, Brahma Bhuto Adhigachati. While in this body, they realize I am Brahman, that consciousness I am, because there is only one consciousness everywhere. So there is not me and consciousness, me and God, me and Brahman. Everything is God alone. And that constant experience of that oneness with Brahman is called Brahma Nirvanam, Brahma Bhuta. So experiencing Brahman, they become one with Brahman. That is the essence of this shloka. They no longer feel that God and I are separate, because God alone is everywhere and God is also in me. That's in the bhakti, my marga. Now, 25th, Bhagwan will keep continuing about the qualities of this wise people. So chapter 5, number 25. Labhate Brahma Nirvanam.
Labhate Brahma Nirvanam.
Rishaya Kshina Kalmashaha.
Rishaya Kshina Kalmashaha.
Chinna Dvaithaya Tatmanah.
Chinna Dvaithaya Tatmanah.
Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha.
Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha.
Together, Labhate Brahma Nirvanam. Rishaya Kshina Kalmashaha. Chinna dvaidhaya tatmanah. sarva-bhuta-hite-rataha. So, in the first line, Rishaya, these rishis. So, who are these rishis? We'll talk about that. Labhate Brahma-nirvanam. They get Brahma-nirvanam, the state of oneness with Brahman, where they experience all the joys, as we mentioned in the previous shloka. They experience here itself. And what happens to them? Chhina kalmashaha, all their sins are destroyed. Then chhinna dvaidha, and then they have no doubts. They have no duality, no doubts. Yatatmanaha, they are self-controlled. And sarva bhuta hite rataha, this is Bhagwan's favorite expression. He uses many times in the Bhagavad Gita. He says these men of wisdom are always engaged in serving others. Sarva bhuta means all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans. Hite, in their benefit, they are rataha, they are engrossed. That's why we say, na, for Puja Gurudev, samasta jana kalyane niratam karunamayam. He is always engaged in the service and the benefit of helping all others out of compassion. So who are these rishis? So our idea of rishi, somebody with a long beard, you know, sitting in the in some place meditating, long hair, jata, wearing orange clothes, and if you disturb him, you know, he will curse you. So that is our idea. So rishi here does not mean a particular form of clothing, or rishi means rishati iti janati, rishiti janati iti rishi. One who knows the truth is a rishi. He could be wearing a suit and tie and driving a Porsche. You know, he could be a, you know, a king like King Janaka. He could be a householder. But a person who knows this truth is called a rishi. And kshina kalmasha, all their sins are destroyed. Now, what is the origin of sin? Sin means wrong action leading to wrong reaction. The inner, you know, inner confusion, inner sorrow when we commit a sin, inner guilt. So where does this originate from? Vasanas. So you handle the problem at the cause, where the vasanas, and where do vasanas arise? From ignorance. I think I am incomplete. I am, you know, so by doing these actions, I will become happy, successful. So the more actions I do, the more desires come, and the more the vasanas grow. So work at the root, mule kothara, they say. Just as vasanas start from ignorance, so start with the right knowledge and consciously remove negativities. My actions be very alert. That is called chinna kalmashaha. Then chinna dvaidha. What is the doubts people have? What people have doubt? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to wear? Which car am I going to buy? Which house? What career? You know, yeah, those things are worldly doubts. But wise people don't have that doubt. They don't spend time too much worrying about what I'll wear, what I'll eat, and all. Their question is, why am I here? Who am I? Who is God? Is he form or formless? Who created the world? If God created, why did he create the world? What is the purpose of my life? Why have I a human intellect and human ability to think? So their doubts are very different, and that is the kind of doubts we should have. And that's why Shankaracharya ji says, Munir na vyamoham bhajati guru diksha kshatatama. Their ignorance has been destroyed by the light of knowledge, teaching which they have obtained from the guru. And then such a person never gets deluded in that text, he says. The person may be sleeping in a palace with a king as a guest, or sleeping on the floor by the river with rocks. He remains fine. He may be in the company of lots of people, or he may be in solitude. So such a person never gets deluded who has the right knowledge. And then yatatmanah means a living a life of self-control. So people don't like this idea of self-control. You say that means we shouldn't eat anything, we shouldn't go to movies, eat ice cream, pizza, enjoy the company of our children, family, travel. Yeah, it's okay to do that. But they say it should be done with moderation. Do not overindulge. Do not overindulge in food, overindulge in pleasures, traveling too much, you know. So enjoy, but within limits and with a moderation. And the extra time you save, spend that in knowing God, in reaching God, in meditating, in praying. And such masters, they serve the world. Why should we serve the world? Because the world is constantly serving us. The sun in the morning is giving us heat. Without the sun's heat, the whole earth would become frozen, like some of the planets that are far away, and there would be no life. Plants are growing, trees, you know, are serving us. Trees are yogis for years, 30 years, 40 years, they stay there. They remove carbon dioxide, give us oxygen. And Bhagwan has created all these forests. So the idea is that we should grow more trees. We should serve the world. And the air, everything, the whole universe is serving us. So the idea is we have to give back to society. That's what he says. Sarva bhuta hite rata. And see the glory of Bhagwan, how this whole universe, everything he has made is useful. Even the bacteria in our gut are important. That's why we take all these probiotics. If we didn't have the right bacteria, our digestion would suffer. We would get all kinds of diseases. So anything and everything that Bhagwan has created is a marvel. Actually, lately I've been following this 3-1 atlas. I don't know how many of you have been following, but this comet has started from billions of years ago. It's billions of years old. And from where it has come, we don't know. More than 35,000 miles per hour it is traveling, and just has been going for years and years and years. And it made a circle around the sun and then will go away and will never come back. What is making this, you know, just in the middle of everywhere? It's wonderful. Bhagwan's glory is such. So we should look at this world with wonder, you know, how beautiful he has made, and let us give back to nature what nature has given us. Let us give back to the world what the world has given us. Talking about giving back, so there was this multimillionaire, very rich. And the Red Cross people went to him. There had been a major earthquake nearby, and so they were trying to raise funds. A lot of thousands of people had died and all that. So they went to ask him for funds, and they said, "Sir, we have heard that, you know, you are very rich, and so can you please give us some money?" So he said, "You heard that I am rich?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Did you hear that my mother is in a nursing home? And her money is running out. You know, her social security is not covering the cost of the nursing home. All her savings are exhausted. And the nursing home people are saying, take her away. And she doesn't know where to go. Have you heard that?" "Oh, no, we haven't heard that." "Have you heard that my brother is blind and he's disabled? He's a Vietnam War vet. And he roams around in a wheelchair and he's blind. Have you heard that?" "Oh, no, sir, we didn't hear that." "And have you heard that my sister was widowed recently? Her husband left her with 3 small kids. She doesn't have money to pay her rent. She's going to be evicted soon." "Oh, no, sorry, sir, we didn't hear all those things." He says, "Yeah. So if I'm not helping any of them, you think I'll help you?" "I don't give anything to them, so you want me to..." So well, the point is that it is very important for us to give back. And that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita teaching, where he says, sarva bhuta hite rataha. And the experience of this path is a very positive experience, the experience of enlightenment. People think, are these, you know, sadhus, they must be suffering. They are walking around with a begging bowl and, you know, or they wear the same clothes every day, the long hair, and they depend on people to feed them, and they just sit somewhere in a hut they are living. They must be very miserable. So we think that it is a negative existence. But the scriptures tell us and the Mahatmas tell us that it is a positive experience of joy. Joy that they experience is so infinite. I think 3-4 weeks back, I had talked about how an enlightened master, how much joy he experiences. Does not mean that we have to become like that, leave the world, leave our children, and go sit in the forest. But understand that this path, why are these people practicing that? Because that is the ultimate goal of life, is enlightenment. And so the enlightenment can be experienced even living in the house, serving the family, taking care of the children and so on. But it has to be done as service of God, constantly remembering God, constantly serving God, and constantly seeing how much God has given us. So the attitude of gratitude. And we always have choices in our life. And do I take the path of pleasure or take the path of good? So path of good, which is not only good for me, but good for all, good for society, is the path of good. And then there is the path of pleasure, where, so live a life of moderation, do not overindulge, and spend more time in spiritual, my own growth. And on this path, as I grow, I will experience that the closer I get to God, the more joy I will experience. It's like a fireplace. If it's in one corner of the room and you are in the other corner, you are cold. The closer you get to the fire, the warmer you will feel in the winter. So same way, as we get closer to God, we will slowly experience a little of the joy that these masters, and that will encourage us to do more. That's why Gurudev said spirituality is a one-way street, entry only. Once you start on this path, you will get so much joy that then nothing else will be equally important. So we have to make the positive choice to live a positive life. And so that is the joy experienced by these rishis whose sins are destroyed, who have no doubts, and who live a life of self-control, serving others. Now, third one, again, Bhagwan talks a little more about these men of wisdom in shloka number 26. Kama krodha viyuktanam. Yatinam yata chetasam.
Yatinam yata chetasam.
Abhito brahma nirvanam. Vartate viditatmanam.
Vartate viditatmanam.
Kama krodha viyuktanam. Yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. So again, Bhagwan brings up kama, krodha, anger and desire. Desire and anger, we had talked about that last week. He again wants to emphasize. Viyukta. Viyukta means, yukta means connected with. Viyukta means completely unconnected. Vigata means they are totally unconnected with desire and anger. Why only desire and anger? But because that includes all others. We'll talk about that. Yatina. Yati means those who put sincere effort on this direction of attaining truth. Yata chetasa, and whose mind is under their control. Their thoughts are, mind and intellect are under their control. ब्रह्म निर्वाण, अभी तो मीन्स एवरीवेयर ब्रह्म निर्वाणम, दिस जॉय ऑफ बीइंग वन विद ब्रह्मन, दिस जॉय ऑफ ब्रह्मनहुड, व्हाट दे कॉल एज गॉडहुड, दे एक्सपीरियंस एवरीवेयर, दैट मीन्स गॉड इज एवरीवेयर एंड गॉड इज इन मी माई ओ ट्रू नेचर, एवरी सेल, जैसे ना कण कण में भगवान, एवरी सेल ऑफ माई बॉडी इज परवेडेड बाई दैट गॉड एंड दे एक्सपीरियंस दैट वर्तते एंड दे लिव इन दैट, दे लिव इन गॉड अवेयरनेस विदित आत्मनाम. अगेन इट सेज विदित मीन्स नोइंग हु आई एम. So when you know who you are, then you experience that God, Godhood everywhere. So kama krodha, again and again Bhagwan talks, because we know this kama is desire, krodha is anger. So desire will bring anger when I don't get what I want. And if I get it, then it will bring greed, selfishness, hoarding. And then if somebody has more, it will bring jealousy, it will bring arrogance. So kama, krodha, mada, moha, lobha, matsarya. So all these come start with desire. With desire, I get all these things. I get attached, I want more. And somebody has more, I get jealous, I fight with people, selfish. All that arises from desire. So that's what they say, that again, this desire comes from vasanas, from acquiring, and then we say, I don't care how many people I hurt, how many I step over, I must get that. I must get that object. I must get that job, that position, that power. I must get it. So constantly wanting. But these people who are self-controlled, then they walk through life untouched. Life cannot touch them, life cannot bother them. They, of course, their body, him, they may have some discomfort mentally, some stress intellectually, but inside they are so connected with Bhagwan that no problems of the world can affect them. And we have talked so many times about all these great saints. Society was so evil to them, so hard on them, but they still never complained. We have talked about Mirabai and Tukaram, Jesus, and so on. All of them remained untouched, no matter how much sorrow the world could give them. And yatinam means puts effort. So spirituality requires effort. Any worldly accomplishment requires effort. If you to become a doctor, engineer, lawyer, it needs effort. To even to take care of the house very well needs effort. House has to be maintained. Whatever job, I'm a computer programmer, engineer, whatever job, everything needs effort. Nothing comes without effort. Bate bate, things are not going to come. God is not going to send. He says, you put the effort and then I will help. So yati nam means those who have put effort, but their effort has been in the spiritual direction to know who I am. And that is the purpose of their life. And yata chetasa, and their mind and intellect is always under their control. Why? Because, first of all, there are physical sins. You hurt somebody, you say, slap somebody, hit somebody. Then using foul language, I curse somebody, use bad language, that is a sin. So actions, speech, but even thoughts, even having negative thoughts is a sin. If you think but continuously bad about somebody, you are hurting your own self, and that is also sinful activity. So these people are very alert that they have love for all. Even if somebody has hurt me, I forgive and I have love. So they, even in their thoughts, they are very, very alert. Very alert that let me not think negative about anybody, even politicians, whoever, whatever they are doing. Ultimately, it is God who is taking care of this universe, of this earth, of the United States. And why am I getting so worked up, in my mind, in my thoughts? Ultimately, let God worry. He's taking care. I have no hatred. I live my life, you know, safely and comfortably, but I do not have anger towards anybody. And such a person sees joy everywhere, sees God everywhere. And actually, God is everywhere. Everything is God. You look at this chair, the computer, the mic, the, you know, humans, birds, plants, fish, and everything is an expression of God. God alone is everywhere. Everything is God. So if I hate somebody, I'm hating God. If I hurt somebody, I'm hurting God. And so seeing this God's presence everywhere gives them joy because God is with me too. God is not far away. So it gives them a lot of comfort, lot of, you know, antar aramah we talked about, lot of comfort, lot of joy within. And seeing God everywhere gives them that state of fulfillment. But how can we do that? So people say, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, we hear it, it is very good. But the moment we go out, we forget. Again, somebody says something bad to me, I get hurt and I start cursing. Or even nothing, somebody cuts me off in traffic and I get so worked up. Oh, these people don't know how. How can we maintain this knowledge at all times? So first is by repetition. Bhagavad Gita again and again, Bhagavan Sri Krishna will repeat similar ideas. Then reminding myself, you know, constantly remembering God, chanting the name of the Lord, even while I'm driving. Of course, pay attention to the road, but along with that, just chant. Or if I'm doing the dishes or vacuuming, instead of saying, why do I have to do the dishes and vacuum? Just chant Bhagavan's name, Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna, Sharanam Mama. Then even those washing of dishes or vacuuming or cleaning becomes a prayer. So every activity can become a prayer. And that is how, then of course, spending some time every morning or evening in the prayer room, you must have a prayer room in the house. Spend some time doing some puja, offer the aarti, you know, the lamp and prasad and all that. And then also reading, you know, reading these good books, meditating in the morning. Meditation is very important. So all these activities, and at the end of the day, look back and thank God for what you have given us, for all the food you have given us before eating. And at the end of the day, thank you, Bhagwan, for another day and for this knowledge. So when the more time you spend in remembering God, the more your mind will become happy, will become peaceful. And for that, the highest knowledge is very, very important, that I am that Brahman, that Vidit Atmanam, knowing that I am, that God is not far away from me, God is in me, God is with me, and I am that divinity, not that I am God or I created the world. But everything is divine, and I am also divine. I'm not a useless creature just thrown by the world, but I am a human, and human beings have a human body, the mind full of emotions, intellect of thoughts. So I serve the world with the up, and I think the right emotions, feel the right emotions, think the right thoughts, reduce my vasanas. So this BMI chart, and take my mind towards Om. So this BMI chart, one should remember that with the body I serve, with the mind I love, with the intellect I get the right knowledge and reduce vasanas. And my ultimate goal of life is Om. And so that, so this person becomes independent, because what happens to us, we look for support, you know, they say, Vastu, Vyakti, Paristhiti, three things. Vastu means things, we already talked about, that things will give me joy. But we had studied last week, things will give temporary happiness, then lead to bondage. Then people, we say, oh, this people, my husband will always love me, my wife will love me, my children will take care of me. I cannot control my own mind. How can I control the mind of somebody else? That this person will always be happy, will give me happiness, will be kind, compassionate. So do not depend on vyakti and paristhiti. Paristhiti means situation. Situations also change. The weather changes, My body will change. Politics changes. Today is Democrat, and tomorrow will become Republican. Democrats are happy, and then afterward, Republicans are happy. So in this world, everything is changing. And how can I expect my job in the beginning was so nice. Now my boss is rude to me. My employees don't listen. So in the world, was two things, vyakti, people, or situations are always changing. So do not look for joy in them. Look for joy within. As that truth I am, that truth I am, and always abide in that knowledge, always, and use that for your meditation. That's why we do have meditation class every Sunday from 10:20 to 10:50. So those who are interested, I also have talks on internet, videos and all. So regular meditation, I find, for me at least, helps a lot. So doing all those things, such a person, Brahma Nirvanam, experiences that state of Brahmanut, Vartate, everywhere he sees God and always resides in that inner peace, inner joy, inner bliss, inner comfort, and free of anger, greed, jealousy, and loving all, serving all. So this is, I'll end here. These three shlokas are very inspirational, how we should live, and explains what is the meaning of nirvana. I talked about that, which Buddha popularized, but which came from the Indian scriptures. What exactly is the meaning of nirvana, and how to live in that state of nirvana? So we'll end here. We have a few minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments. Hari Om. Hari Om. I think that he has not turned it on. I'll do that. Hari Om. Yeah, you have something?
Just some words.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anilji. Hari Om. This is Krishna. So chapter 5, sloka 24, what I learned is the yogis who find joy, happiness, and light within self or within themselves are in union with Brahman and experience eternal bliss. In chapter 25, the rishis who are free from sins and who have self-control and who have resolved all doubts have and work for the welfare of others will attain liberation. Then sloka 26, those who are free from anger and desires, self-controlled and self-realized will find liberation in Brahman here and thereafter.
Thank you.
I have a question. So what is the difference between a yogi, rishi?
I think these are little variations in the description of this man of wisdom. Yogi means one who is united, yuj. And then yogi, then they said they can be karma yogi, jnana yogi, dhyana yogi. Rishi means rishati, janati, it is rishi. So one who knows the truth. So basically they are similar terms, but slight different emphasis is given to that. But they're all referred to these men of wisdom. Yeah. Anji, yes, go ahead. You can ask here if you want.
No, I think I'm good. Thank you.
So,
Little loud, so people on Zoom, that's why it's good, so people on Zoom can hear the question.
yeah, the thing is, my question is, I think if I relate it to Shloka 24, 25, and 26, it's more into a real world. When you say that don't have too many desires, keep yourself in line of God, like think about it. But then why it is so tough to fall in that like towards the God side than to the real world side? I mean, I'm in real world, I have family, I have other things. Why it is so hard to get detached to that and attached to God? I mean, if it's really, really important, why God made it this way? Why it's not easy? Like every time I try, we get distracted, and then it's kind of like a rail, like you
Right.
पटरी से उतर जाती है एंड देन चढ़ जाती है, ऐसा हो रहा है.
Yeah, actually, I don't need. So, as I said, God made the world for us to experience and enjoy. So, we are not saying that you should suffer in this world. But that is not my main purpose. If all my purpose in life is to have husband, wife, children, make them grow up, they get old, they get married, and then I get old and die, then I have not lived a life any better than a sparrow. Even a sparrow, male and female sparrow meet, they get together, they have children, they teach them to fly, then they die. So what is the difference between me and a sparrow or a dog or a cat or a buffalo? That I have the human intellect and I have this. So you're not saying that you should not do your worldly activities, but do worldly activities as service of God. When I'm cooking for my children, I'm cooking for God. When I'm cleaning my house, I'm cleaning for God because God lives. And then as the children slow, and if I have an extra time after, and I have to cut down a little bit on useless activities, spending too much time on the phone or on the internet or all the time shopping and going here and there gossiping. So when I save time, then that extra time I can spend for God. So remember God in all activities and then reduce unnecessary. Of course, we have to take care of family, children. We're not saying that. But the extra time when the children have gone to bed and dishes are done and all, then I have some quiet time. Sit and meditate or read some good books or just do some puja or just chant. So what will happen is slowly, slowly you'll find more and more joy in this, and you will still do your activities as service of God. And then as children become older, they become teenagers, and if they're driving, they don't need us, then we have more time. And then they leave, go to college, instead of chasing after them too much. I have taken care of them, given them knowledge. Now my time is to spend more time in God. So it is difficult if we don't give it time. As I said, to become a doctor is so difficult. How much effort we take, or engineer or lawyer, even to take care of the house is difficult. Everything is difficult. But it is difficult if you make it difficult. So you get inspired by Mahatmas, by great teachers. And as life will slowly, if you make time for God, God will make sure that He makes things comfortable for you. He will, God, they say one, He says, you call me one time and I'll come running. Main ji ji karun das ber. I have told that before. Tum ek baar pukaro mujhko, main ji ji karun das ber. 10 times I'll come and say yes. So make that your priority. Slowly, slowly, it will happen. Kerry, you have a question? Is that answer your question? Kerry, you have a question? Go ahead.
Yes, I do. In chapter or in verse 26, there's the word down at the end, vidi atmanam,
Yes.
to know the Atman. But
Yes.
now I want now to understand that the word to know, you don't know the Atman like or Brahman like you know chemistry. It's a
Yes.
different kind of knowledge. Okay, I understand that. But then on the previous verse 25, there's the word yat manaha, which
Yatatmanah.
to control the self, and I don't quite understand how to control the
No.
self, the Atman.
Yeah, see, that's why the Sanskrit is a unique language where the same word can have a different meaning based on context. Atma, and the one means the self. And knowing the self is not knowing it as an object, but as subjectively experienced. But Atma also means this body. Atma also means mind. Atma also means ego. So the same word could have different meanings. So here, when he says yatatmanah, means he's controlling his mind. Atma here means this ego, this mind, that his body. So Atma, you cannot only have one fixed meaning in Sanskrit. That is the beauty of Sanskrit. That's why you need to have a teacher who can interpret these scriptures for us.
Well, you're it. Okay, so that does not mean, the capital S self.
No, it's not controlling the self, it is controlling the mind and the body.
Okay, I was just,
Controlling me, this
it's like they're
ego.
almost the same words, to know the self, to control the self. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Okay, so
Yeah.
it's it means a small s.
Right. That's a very good question. Thank you.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhave. Om shanti shanti shanti, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om. Thank you very much, Harihi Om.